Evolution World Tour, Wadi Hittan, Egypt. In Egypt's western desert, evidence abounds that before they were the kings of the ocean, whales roamed the earth on four legs. Abigail Tucker, January 2012. In 1902, a team of geologists guided their camels into a valley in Egypt's western desert, a desolate, dreamlike place. Centuries of strong wind had sculpted sandstone rocks into alien shapes. And at night, the moonlight was so bright that the sand glowed like gold. There was no water for miles. No water for miles. Think about that. A nearby hill was known as Mountain of Hell because of the infernal summer heat. Yet, in this parched land lay the bones of whales. Some of the skeletons were 50 feet long, with vertebrae as thick as campfire logs. They dated back 37 million years to an era when a shallow tropical sea covered this area and all of northern Egypt. And although the geologists didn't realize it at the time, the prehistoric specimens in the sand would offer clues to one of evolution's most nagging questions. How whales became whales in the first place? For these long-dead whales had feet. We had sometimes joke about walking whales, said Philip Gengridge, a University of Michigan paleontologist, who discovered the dainty little appendages, complete with tiny toes, when working on Wadi Hittan, the Valley of the Whales, in 1989. When we found what we did in Egypt, we thought, that's not a joke anymore. Scientists had long suspected that whales were terrestrial mammals that had raced or eased into the ocean over millions and millions of years ago, gradually losing their four legs. Modern whales, after all, had vestigial hind leg bones, but little in the fossil record illustrated the transition until Gengridge began excavating Wadi Hittan's hundreds of whale fossils, finding legs and knees. Those skeletons are the Rosetta Stones, says Nick Piason, a curator of fossil marine mammals at the National Museum of Natural History. It's the first time we could say we know what the hind limbs of these animals look like, and they're bizarre. Older specimens of footed whales have since been identified, but Wadi Hittan's are unmatched in their number and state of preservation. The valley, about a three-hour drive from Cairo, is now a UNESCO World Heritage Site, visited by some 14,000 people each year. Gengridge speculates that whales' landlubber ancestors were deer or pig-like ancestors living near the sea. And about 55 million years ago, they started spending more time in the water. First, they would eat dead fish along the shore, and then they would chase the prey in the shallows, and then they would wade even deeper. And as they did, some evolved traits that facilitated hunting in water. Over time, since they no longer had to bear their full body weight at sea, they got bigger, their backbones elongated, and their rib cages broadened. Fossils from India, even older than the one studied in Egypt, reveal that the whales' earliest ocean-dwelling ancestors kept their footing, using their legs to climb in and out of the water, most likely for breeding and giving birth on shore. But the more they relied on tails for locomotion, the more their legs shrank. If you're going to be using your tail, legs get in the way, Piason says. Smaller legs reduce drag. You want to become streamlined. The whales of Wadi Hittan had evolved to the point where they could not return to land. They were school bus-sized creatures with feet only a few inches long. Useless for walking. Eventually, the whale's legs would disappear altogether. Most of the fossils in the valley belong to two types. Basilosaurus was a giant with an almost eel-like body. The more petite but heavily muscled Dorudon looked more like a modern whale, at least until its mouth opened to reveal a jaw lined with serrated daggers instead of peg-like teeth. Far from a playground for gentle giants, prehistoric Wadi Hittan was a whale-eat-whale world. That part of Egypt was likely a warm, nutrient-rich elongated gulf, not unlike modern Baja California, where gray whales today come to bear young. Genrich thinks that Dordogne likewise calved in the shallows because there are unusual numbers of juvenile skeletons at the site. Some of the baby Dordogne have bite marks on their heads, likely inflicted by hungry basilosauruses. Both whale ancestors would have feasted on other creatures in the area, which is home to sea cows, giant crocodiles, sharks, and a myriad of other fish. Dordogne skeletons are sometimes found with jumbles of fish bones where their stomachs would have been. The basilosaurus teeth are typically broken from extensive use. Once quite difficult to reach, Wadi Hittan has recently become an eco-tourist destination. It is part of Wadi El Rayyan, a larger protected area that also includes a Saharan oasis inhabited by Dorcas, gazelles, and fennec foxes. Visitors can hire a driver, preferably with a four-wheel drive vehicle, in Cairo, and they can travel over recently improved roads to the valley. The site includes an open-air museum with footpaths alongside some of the fossils, which are fully or partially exposed and easy to see. And, provided they remember to bring wood to the fire pit, the most intrepid guests can camp overnight on the ancient seafloor and sleep with the whales. The skeletons are much as they were when the first geologists found them. In death, Dordogne almost always assumed a circular position. Basilosaurus tended to come to rest in a more or less straight line. The ocean current perhaps pushed the bodies parallel to the coast. Using the whales' positions, scientists may one day be able to discern the shape of long-lost shores.